Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand, Melania, impermeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist, fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my
to my family. Happy New Year according to the Gregorian calendar.
Oh, yeah. Hope everyone had a wonderful New Year.
There we go.
Yes, hope everybody had a wonderful New Year. Hope everybody had a safe time yesterday, had fun. I'm sure people are just getting up around this time right now after all the fun they were having yesterday. I'm sure nobody woke up before like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, that's a good New Year.
No matter who you are, I'm sure you just woke up recently. Oh boy! Well, we wanted to start the year off, you know, with a foundation to be able to continue the new year, have a nice discussion about this. If there's anybody that wants to call in and have questions or comments, the number is 929-477-3423. Make sure you hit the number 1 so that we know that you have a question. And we are going to get started on this great conversation because everybody, you know, talks about resolutions and things that they plan on doing for the year and things that plan on being a better person. You know, for me, I get so disturbed when I see the comments from people when they say, oh, everybody's talking about new year, new me, and then they do the same thing. But you know what? If you want to say, I'm going to be a completely different person in 2019, more power to you, because it's a lot of fun and very reassuring to know that on January 1st of every year, you have the opportunity to start over. Even if you are the same person on January 1st that you were on December 31st, at least the idea is that you're motivated to be a better person. So that's gonna tie into what we're gonna be talking about today. Basically, what we're gonna be talking about today is a question that I usually ask people. It's conversations that I have, and it's, do we want a seat at the table? Like, do we want, as Black people, do we want a seat at the table? Do we want to have our own table? Do we want to have a really big table and put all the different tables together? Do we want our own room? Like, how do we want this conversation and how do we want this progression to go? So I feel like everybody has different ideas of what they want. But I think that everybody wants something, whether it's a seat, our own table, our own room, our own building, regardless of what you want. The important thing is to want something. So, sis, you got anything to say on that?
Well, all I know is I don't want to see it. I want the whole damn table. And, you know, for me, it's important that we realize that we have a choice and we have a voice and we have the ability to have, you know, an opportunity to have our own voice, have our own table, have the option of having our own, you know, situation. So, you know, for me, I feel like whatever you choose, it doesn't matter what you choose. It just matters that you have a choice.
Yeah,
you think about
that.
Thing. Yeah.
So when he's getting on, let me just say, in my opinion, And I have different opinions depending on what it is, but I think that we always get so wrapped up in trying to have the discussion about it that we forget to actually do it. I think a lot of times we are so focused on all of the negative things that are happening to us instead of taking advantage of the opportunities that we have and that we can make for ourselves. So I think that having a seat at the table isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it depends on what we do with it. Like, I had a conversation with one of my coworkers who, for argument's sake, happens to be white, and we ended up talking about diversity. And I found it interesting because he's a Republican, he's conservative, he has his belief system, but the conversation, I didn't feel uncomfortable speaking to him. And the way that it went was like, is diversity about diversity of thought, or is it about the way that diversity looks? Because to be honest, a lot of times we're so excited when we see a black face somewhere. We're so excited to see brown, melanated people, men and women of color in a certain position or a certain place in society. But we don't take into consideration their thought process. Because just because you're a black person doesn't mean that you have the thought process that would benefit the black community. Even with this year, as we closed out this year, like, Kanye West got one of the biggest L's all year simply because people were so offended by what he said. And I think people were more offended by what he said because he's black and because of who he was before all of the conversations that he started having happened. He was somebody, like, he went on television and said, who was it, George Bush. He said George Bush doesn't care about black people. And he had the other one that played Austin Powers standing there like, oh, my God, did you just say that? Like, his face was like, ooh, God, what did I get myself into? And that's what we remember him for. So when he said the things that he said, nobody was able to take it in. Nobody was able to take it for what it was because they're not, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow. Even if you believe he's right, even if some of the things that he's not even that you believe he's right, even if some of the things that he was saying were accurate, it's hard to be able to grasp what he was saying simply because there's a lot going on in society. We want any seat that we can get. And we want any black person to sit in any seat that they can get, but we don't take into consideration their mind frame. We don't take into consideration, you know, what they have to offer the black community. A lot of people want, and I think I loved the person that President Obama represented, but a lot of people had an issue with him because they didn't feel like he did anything for the black community. But to be honest, like, he was the president of the United States. He was the president of the black community. But a lot of people had issues with him because they expected something else from him. But he went in
it was hard with the expectations that, you know, what people wanted from him. It was very interesting what people wanted when they asked him, like, well, what do you expect?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, you know, being a teacher, I always think in terms of having everything defined. And when we speak of a table, you know, like, what are we talking about when we're talking about a table? Because you see, the way it's set up now, psychologically, when we talk about I want a seat at the table. Exactly what is that table? To me, the table is life.
Mm.
So it's not about having a seat at the table. You already have a seat at the table. The question is, what are you going to do while you're in that seat?
Oh,
so there is no European table. Because first of all, most, if not much, of what they've ever gotten, they've gotten from the pigmented world.
That's true.
So the table is already ours. It's just that we're living an illusion where there are people that, for instance, growing up as a young man, I heard it said frequently, this is a white man's world.
Mm.
But that's an illusion. It's not a white man's world. It's your world if you claim it.
That's true.
But if you buy into the illusion, then even someone else's illusion, if you believe it, becomes your reality.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I'm not really looking for a seat at the table. I already, table is in. So, you know, going back to what you were saying, Conde K, about you want the whole table. You know, my thing is, I already own the building. The question is, are we going into 2019, after having seen the fraud, fraud of the individuals who had so much big mouth with President Obama, or they had so much to say? They had so much to say about Michelle Obama's bare arm.
Exactly.
They had so much to say when those two young girls, their daughters, Sasha and Malia, were dressed as young girls with a dress above their knees, always having something to say.
Yep.
We now have, and let me tell you something, I don't have a problem with this. I have a problem with the hypocrisy of it. But as it relates to the first lady of today, we have seen her totally naked.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Listen, see, honestly, I don't have a problem with that, you know, because people do what they do in order to get to where they have to get. At that point in her life, she was doing that. I don't have a problem with that. Do what you got to do. My problem is the hypocrisy of attacking Michelle Obama for bare arms and young girls who are being young girls, and yet the person that you have today as your first lady, you have seen her in the nude, and you have nothing to say.
Yeah.
You know, we are living an illusion out here. We now see that all this great power that the United States and all the honor and the respect that the world had for the United States, we have now seen the President of the United States addressing the world at the United Nations, and they were laughing at him.
Yep, and us.
That brings the proverb.
How serious do they take us?
Well, not us. You see, now that's the next point. There's a word that's called synecdoche. synecdoche. I had to go to one of those big dictionaries, one of those got to stay on the table dictionaries. What no portable is, you know, it, you know, this is one of them that included the 10,000 most unused words. So look up the word synecdoche. Synecdoche is what we as black people find ourselves in frequently. When somebody does something, let's say they do something bad, and one of the first things that runs through our mind, oh my goodness, I hope he wasn't black.
All the time.
Yes, all of the time. Yes.
But you see, that's psychological, though. There's no reason why any one of us should take responsibility for how anybody else acts.
Yeah, but it happens. It happens all the time.
But they have put that on us. That we are responsible, the same way when President Obama was elected president, which I was very happy about, but his election did not reflect me as an African-American man.
Yeah.
His election represented the way he presented himself to America that he got voted in. So it's like the other thing, growing up, is they would always say, you have to be a credit to your race. But that's not true. What I do, I do. It is no more against or for the African-American people. And peoples of other cultures don't take responsibility for what their individual members do.
And exactly.
So we have got to change the mind shift when we talk about New Year's resolution. First of all, it's all about behavior modification. Everything that you do comes out of the mind. Once and for all of the things that you decide, that you believe, that is not to your better, the things that are detrimental to you that you want to stop doing, just stop doing. But don't wait for New Year's. Everybody say, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat this cake, but I'm going on a diet after January 1st.
Yeah. And it's going to be July.
But you know in your mind that you're playing with yourself because you want to be able to eat that cake.
Yep.
So there has to be a behavior modification. We have to change the way we're thinking. We're coming out and celebrating today the last day of Kwanzaa, the concept of imani, to have faith. Now, what happens? Are we going to wait till December 26th to celebrate Kwanzaa again? Or does tomorrow challenge us to have those seven principles of unity and of self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics? Do we have a purpose in life? Are we creative? And do we have faith? Are we going to wait till next year for Kwanzaa again? Or do those principles represent what we should be doing every day? This is the question we bring forward to the community. This is what I ask myself about me. We should all be asking ourselves, do you want a seat at the table, or do you already know you're at the table and you could run things if you so chose? Something to think about.
No, that's very true. It's very true.
That whole segment deserves a bomb, so let me drop it.
Hit it.
That whole conversation. But all of it's true, and that's why I said that, because a lot of people are still waiting. You know, and that's my issue. I don't know if issue is the right word, but that's my concern when we're marching and protesting. Like, we're still asking for things from other people. We're still trying to bring these things to the attention of the people that if it would make a difference that we were doing that, we wouldn't have to have these conversations anyway. Like, if we were able to appeal to their humanity, we wouldn't need to have the conversation. And that's why I think instead of doing all these protests, instead of doing all these things that, you know, inevitably cost us money, all these protests and the marches and everything that we do cost a lot of money. And, Dad, you have said it before. When they do certain things, like the police department gets overtime, the hotels get money, we spend money on the bus companies get money. If we would have taken that money and went to a black-owned business and bought things, or even started our own business, if we were able to take all the money that we spent on all the marches and the protests and the boycotts and everything else, the entire economy would have been comparable to other groups of people in the society. There's a lot of people that they come into our neighborhood and they open stores in our neighborhood because, to be honest, sometimes we don't have it. Like, if we were, there are groups of people that look like us, but they're able to do, they do things differently. And I know that there's a lot tied into that conversation. So don't take me at the basics of what I'm saying. But there's a lot of people that even in our communities look like us, but are not the same as we are. And they have the supermarkets, they have the delis, they have the pizza shops, and the Chinese restaurant. Like, a lot of these people have things that we could contribute to, but a lot of times our focus is in the wrong area. We need to start focusing on the real, like, what we really want. We need to focus on, like you said, that we already have a seat at the table. We're already significant to the table. We probably built a damn table. Like, we literally probably
we
built
did.
Screws and screwdrivers and a hammer. We probably put that entire table together looking for a seat. Well, we could have built our own seat and pulled up to the table. But we were once
go at ahead. The table alone. There was a time when we were the only people at the table alone.
Yeah.
There was a time that the table is life. The table is life. It's not like you're going to get a new table. You ain't going to get a new table. The table is life, the process of life. And sitting at the table is determined by your belief in yourself, your faith, your imani in yourself, to be able to bring forward a way of living that is in the best interest of all the people at the table. We all bring something to this table. Right now, we have a group of people who have created an illusion. It is as if they're the only ones at the table, and we are the servants and the butlers and the maids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what we're thinking. This is what's in our mind.
It's the psychological warfare. It's the fact that they say it, so we believe it. And we got to stop believing them, and we got to realize our potential. And we're the ones who created this. We're the ones who create our destiny. We're the ones who move every day and make a difference. And we got to stop depending on all the rest of them when we just got to do it for ourselves and love ourselves and understand and, you know, fully understand our potential.
We were at the table, and they came to the table. And they through trickery, took over the table. Everything that we're experiencing today, you can see the forerunner in the ancient world. Even the computer, even the calculator. I can take you back thousands of years, and I can show you something that came out of Uganda, came out of Central Africa. It's called the Ishango Bowl.
Hold on, drop it after this break. We're going to play a little song for you, and it's just a little teaser. So, you know, when you come back, then we're going to have, you know, Brother Kaba Hiawatha come in and drop it.
Break it down.
So, go ahead.
Now, break it down.
Get it.
All right. We'll be back in a few minutes.
I'm living my best life, yeah, yeah. I'm living my best life. Made a couple M's, you know. I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. Made a couple M's with my best friend. Turned all my L's into lessons. You see the whip pulling up, it's like dreams pulling up, I'm like I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least that's what I'm dressed
like. I'm like Big Pop mixed with Tupac. I'm like Machiavelli, Nisa, Little Caesar pizza. I be hot and ready, nigga. You a pussy and a rat. You like Tom and Jerry, nigga. You ain't ballin', you just talking. That's that commentary. I was in the film and I slayed for this. Had to talk to God, drop down and pray for this. To my surprise, he replied, say you made for this. I seen the car wanted, then I went and paid for it. Cash, cash, hit the take care, hit the raise, hit the dash, dash. That's when they came for me on Twitter with the backlash. Cardi B is so problematic, it's a hashtag. I can't believe they wanna see me lose that bad. They talking junk and they think these hoes mad trash. I'm giggling, can let the devil have the last laugh. Ain't no more beefing, I'm just keeping to myself. I'm my own competition, I'm competing with myself.
I told y'all, I'm living my best life. I told y'all, I'm living my best life. I made a couple L's with my best friends. Turned all my L's into legends. You see the whip pulling up, it's like
skirt.
Drink pulling up, it's like
skirt.
I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least that's what I'm dressed like.
You don't like money, I can see it in your eye. You don't like winning, I can see it in your tie. Better be careful with these women when you trickin', sendin' flies. She count money in her sleep and she don't never spend a night. But she trappin' and she had to make it happen for her life. Don't be mad because she havin' shit, you had it your whole life. We had baggage on our flights, we had badges on our asses. You got passes in your life, you had gadgets on your bike. God work magic, God work magic, God work magic in my life. And that guala like Ayala, cause that bag you take my life. And y'all know good and damn well I don't want no champagne. But can we please get some more champagne? Please no Andre, G like Von Che, reach like Ron James, pep talk from Yonsei. Remember my hands had ash like Pompeii. Now they hold cash, won't peak like Dante.
I told y'all, I'm living my best life.
I told y'all,
I'm living my best life. I made a couple M's with my best friends. Turned all my L's into legends. You see the whip pulling up, it's like skirt.
Like
dreams pulling up, it's like skirt.
Like
I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least that's what I'm dressed like.
I never had a problem showing y'all the real me. Hair when it's fucked up, crib when it's filthy. Way before the deal me, shoot to pay the bills me. Before I fix my teeth, man, those comments used to kill me. But never did I change, never been ashamed. Never did I switch, stories stay the same. I did this on my own, I made this a lane. Y'all gotta bear with me, I I've been through some things. Went from small ass apartments to walking red carpets. Pissy elevators, now every dress is tailored. Just some real life fairy tale, Cinderella shit. I got further than them hoes that I will ever get. And that only goes to show that only God knows. I took pictures with Beyonce. I'm in mama knows. I'm the rose that came from the concrete and the rose. I'm like gold, man, I'm chosen, I'm floating. Hey.
I told y'all, I'm living my best life. I told y'all, I'm living my best life. I made a couple M's with my best friend. Turned all my L's into blessings. You see the whip filling up this life, girl. Dream filling up this life, girl. I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least that's what I'm dressed like. Skirt, skirt, going down right now. Skirt, skirt, Jamie Foxx, clean it down. Like skirt, skirt, money falling up and
a stripper in order to become an entertainer, in order to get money.
Like, that's not what you should be learning from it. It should just be entertainment. That's what we watch soap operas for. That's what we read these books for. I mean, just enjoy your life. You don't have to take everything so seriously.
And that's how I feel. And I have mentioned that last week. Like, everything that we do has to have a meaning. Everything that we do. And I understand that we feel like we're working towards something, but we're going to lose sight of what makes us human and what makes us happy if we don't figure it out. Like, we were not born to struggle. We were not born to fight other people every day while those people are going out and going skiing with their families, playing golf with their friends, going to the bar. Like, they're doing things that they enjoy. And we honestly feel like we're fighting them every day. And sometimes some of them aren't even paying attention. They may be doing things to hurt us, but they're still not paying attention to our fight. So I think that we really need to take into consideration what makes us happy and what we have to look forward to. Like, this thing that I do that I look forward to every week, and I never take that for granted, and I never let it go, because there are things that no matter what happens to me when it comes to the work that I'm doing, if it falls apart, I still have things that keep me going every day. Because if you don't have things that keep you going every day, if you don't have things that keep you looking forward to your life every single day when you wake up, you're going to fall apart. And everything that we've done and everything that you've done is going to be something that you feel like it was a waste of time, because you didn't have any motivation to make anything better. So I think that's something, and that's definitely something that I'm focusing on. I know it and I feel it, but that is my focus for this year, is to not care what other people think. Whatever you expect from me, that's your business. That's not my business. If you see something that I like or that I do that you don't like, that is your business, and you need to take that up with your creator. That has nothing to do with me. Like, other people's opinions don't have anything to do with me. And that is one thing that I am working on, because I lost sight of that, because I really I feel like I was somebody that I really wasn't, because I was stuck in the world of, you know, being woke and being conscious. I was stuck in that world and I wasn't myself. So I think that, and that's a problem that we have too. We feel like we have to fit into a certain box to be what people consider to be conscious, and to be black enough to be pro-black. If you're black and you're for the betterment of your community, you are pro-black. And that's the only thing that matters to me going forward.
You know, one of the interesting...
Hit that bomb. Hold on, Daddy. Hit that bomb real quick.
We're going to drop the bomb real quick. There we go.
There we go. Go ahead, Daddy.
you know, it's interesting because part of our history, when you go back to the days of the great nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, there's another brother that many of us do not focus on. And his name was Minister Clarence X. And he was very close with Malcolm. He was very much a person of the streets. And he came to a philosophy. He looked at our community and he noticed that, well, one of the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to always say when you're gathering your people together is, in order for you to be able to clean a fish, you first have to catch it. And he was referencing our people. He was referencing African-American people who were out there with all different types of lifestyle. You're talking about the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. So that Clarence X used to go out and get brothers and sisters who wanted to change, who wanted to go into the world, but they weren't ready to give up smoking, or they weren't ready to give up drinking, or, you know, they might smoke joint every so often. They might run with women, or women running and having a good time with men, partying and things like that. So he petitioned the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and asked him if he could possibly start to bring in almost like a limbo place. Because, you know, the Nation of Islam was very strict. No drink, no smoking, no drinking, no fornication, you know, no partying, things like that. They were very strict. But Clarence realized that everybody wasn't ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was with some people knowing, allowing certain people to be part of the nation that, according to the rules, were not part of the nation. And so around the same time that Malcolm was expelled from the nation, so was he. He later would start a group known as the 5%.
Wow.
God, the gods on earth.
God, buddy.
I say that because all of our people are not ready to make this move. Every one of them wants to make it. They may not realize it, but they want to make it. But they may not be there yet. And so going into 2019, we have to back up off our people. We have to understand by matter of degree, all of us are somewhere in this terroristic disaster. And one of the things Malcolm used to always say is, don't get cute with yourself when you get a little bit of information and knowledge, because remember what you were like before you had it.
I gotta say that to people. Wait, hold on. I gotta say that to people a couple of times.
You see, we have to think about. See, for me, it was a little bit different because I grew up in a family of consciousness. My name, Booker T. My introduction to African spirituality at a young age. My exposure to Dr. Clark. I never had to go through a major transformation in my life. I pretty much always had this type of mind, but I'm continuing to learn to this day. But I learned, I was settled in a situation. But I also realized that all of our people are not quite there yet. They're geniuses in their area. They're wonderful human beings. But they are all, by matter of degree, caught up in this horrific thing. And this is why I think that the present conditions of our political system is a gift to us as a people to observe who it is that we're actually dealing with. We have to understand that we are dealing with a people who are extremely fragile. They are now in big trouble. They now see that within a couple of decades, they no longer will be the so-called majority if they are now, but they know this now. Mm-hmm. And so all of this reaction, all these things that we see happening, is all happening because the so-called leader of the so-called free world is demonstrating the very fabric of character or lack of character that they have always had. I'm surprised when people say, what's going on? Well, for black folk, we've been experiencing this for 400 years. There's nothing surprising to us about what we're watching.
I'm surprised that you're surprised.
That's it.
And it's 400 years this year. I mean, I read that somewhere about, was it 1619 and then 2019? Or is that an inaccurate date?
No. Actually, I was invited to go down to Richmond, Virginia, and they were literally celebrating that concept that we are now this is 400 years as a point of departure. Of course, we can take those dates back. We can do a lot of things with those dates, but as a point of departure, we can use 400 years this year. As a concept for us to view the worldview that we, as Africans in America, have had over the past 400 years. But here's the key. If we don't get ourselves together, if we do not get ourselves together, we can blame everybody we want to.
Yep.
But when you blame somebody else for the condition that you find yourself in, you give them the power to get you out of that condition, but you also give them the power to keep you in that condition.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, just let me say this, then we back off for a while. You know, in algebra, you're searching for the unknown. This basically is what algebra is in math. You're searching for an unknown, and you have unknown factors. And you're searching for factors that's going to solve your problem. People's of outside of my culture, in fact, people outside of me, are not factors in my problem.
There we go.
You're not going to solve my problem. So you're
you
not
are a non-factor.
There
so,
we go.
So to peoples of European descent, if you blame them, they become a factor.
There we go.
They're not a factor.
Therefore,
when they speak on the issues that I'm dealing with, when I'm speaking to the community, and they want to interject their thoughts on what I'm saying to them, I tell them, hey, you ain't got nothing to say because you ain't a factor in this problem.
Hold on. What about the dog? I can't take it.
We give them the right to speak. We give them the right to speak about our existence every time we blame them for the condition that we find ourselves.
My goodness.
Hey, I know what they did. Don't think I'm overlooking what happened. I know what they did. But for present-day liberation and emancipation, they can't count. They don't matter in my liberation, in my emancipation. I matter, we matter, and where we go with this is what's going to determine our future and our children's future and the world yet to be born. Now, if we better start getting real slick about this, and now I know there's a lot of people making a lot of money on the hustle factor of it's the white man's fault. I understand. A lot of money being made on that. But I'm not into that world. I'm into a self-reflective world that is going to determine for myself what it is that I have to do for myself, for my family, for my community, in order for us to realize that we are at the table, we have a voice, and we have to understand another thing going into 2019 of a woman.
There we go.
The role
I never
that
get
women are playing, but it is time. It is the age of the feminine principle. Please understand what I mean when I say that. I'm not just talking about the gender woman. I'm talking about the feminine principle of determination, of tenacity, of nurturing and sustaining the nation. That's the feminine principle. The protection of the nation is a male characteristic. But the sustenance and the nurturing and the nourishing and the determined attitude to keep family together, that's a feminine principle. And it's happening. And you can see the women are rising. The women are rising, and the sisters are doing their thing. And I, as a brother, pledge my allegiance to the fact that I realize what time it is. That's why when I said Happy New Year, Gregorian calendar, that's a European calendar that was taken from Africans. That's a lunar calendar. That's an agricultural calendar. It's time for us to go to Brother Ptah and look at his Gregorian calendar and understand this ain't just a lunar time. This ain't just an agricultural time. This is a cosmic time. And this is a feminine cosmic time. Ast Ra no Mi. Ast is a feminine principle. Ra is the light and heat energy of the sun, and Nomi is the study of. Astra Nomi, astronomy, is the study of the feminine principle of light and heat energy, and it's on us. The light is shining. Let's move forward in 2019 and not just take our rightful place, assume our rightful place, because it's already there. We already sitting on the throne. So let's just get this world back where it belongs. And sisters, do your thing.
Can we just drop a bomb for this entire conversation? Because it just, I was going to do it for this entire, this was really an amazing conversation that we had tonight. And I just, it is the perfect way to start off the new year. I'm telling you, like, it was amazing. This really was great. I'm really enjoying this conversation for real. We're just going to have to keep talking about current events and keep talking about the things that make that will make us better going in the future. Because there's so many other people, whether they look like us or don't look like us, that we've allowed to be in control of the direction of the progression of our people. And I think that it's so important that the people that actually care, like us, that care about the progression of the community, really need to start taking our voice back and stop putting it in the hands of people that don't have our best interest in heart. And I don't care if they look like me or don't look like me. If you don't have my best interest in heart, I don't care. You can be, you know, straight off, straight from the motherland. If you don't have the best interest of me And our people at heart, I don't care what you have to say. Just like you said, you're a non-factor. I'm not going to say the entire phrase, but you're just a non-factor.
It's time.
Wow.
Yep.
It's just time.
And you know, you played that song that, you know, I've not heard that version of it because that's a nice version of it. You know, the Cardi B, but I've got the Lil Duval.
Oh,
yeah. You know, living my best life.
Listen, don't worry. We got a special treat. That's a different. That's a different song. You know, that was Chance the Rapper and Cardi. That's two different songs.
Yeah, but you see, the idea
is
I'm living my best life. I don't have time to go back and forth with you.
There we go.
You know, that becomes very important because we're getting caught up in useless conversations
that are
dead end. Now, sometimes you can have those because sometimes the exercise of the conversation leads to a thought. So I'm not saying that we just not going to... But the idea of going back and forth in a useless conversation when you're living
mm-hmm.
your best life, you're doing the things that you were born to do. Your divine passion is being met by your everyday life. We all have to get to that point, you know, and it doesn't make a difference what television shows you watch, what rap songs you listen to. And what's good about you, Sasha, and you, Kondike, is that you are this next generation that's moving in, and your voice needs to be heard. The things that you're saying need to be heard because I know for a fact that sometimes when I drop situations on people, you know, like when I admit that I may watch a show that people are surprised that I would watch.
Shocked.
You know, that they would not think that I, like for instance, Scandal. You know, I watched Scandal.
Scandal.
And I remember I was doing a presentation, and they were talking about different shows on TV and what's happening. And I said, well, you know, I watched Scandal, and the whole room got quiet. Because here was the other concept. What I found interesting in that show was that brother Joe Morton, who played the father. This brother had a lot of power.
Oh, man. His speeches alone were amazing.
Yes, and the things that he was saying was so deep as it relates to, okay, you see that she is involved with a man of European descent who is the president of the United States. I understand that. That's why it's called Scandal. But the idea is the fact that there are so many different things going, but the point that I'm making is this. There were sisters that came up to me afterwards and said, you know, when you said that, I felt so relieved because I watch it and I enjoy it too. And I said, I know, I can tell. I can tell by the way you're all that quiet that you enjoy.
Uh-huh.
But you we have been conditioned by the so-called conscious community. We can't accept things. There's shows that you're not supposed to watch. You ain't conscious if you do this. You ain't this if you do that. You're not down with the people if you do that. The fact of the matter is I belong to a very exclusive club. And the name of the club is I Mind My Own Damn Business. Because the day I started... But drop it after the second part of the title of the
thing. I'm not going to do it yet, because I know you're going to say something else. Go ahead. Sorry, let me interrupt.
Because the second half of the club's name is, because the day I started minding my own business was the day I came to realize how much business I had to mind.
Oh, my God.
That
is
100%. Yes.
Always accurate.
So,
oh, my God.
So let's be honest with ourselves. To thine own self be true. If you watch Love and Hip Hop, if you watch The Housewives of Atlanta, if you watch it, you know, that's your business.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I'm not here to judge you because there are things that allow us to live a certain life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we use it for escapism. Sometimes we like the way the people look because they're attractive to people of African descent. You know, how they act is a whole nother factor in and of itself. But the real thing we have to do is to be truthful to ourselves. If you live a certain way, and if you enjoy watching certain TV, if you do certain things that to the community may be a so-called no-no, like, for instance, you might like to have your glass of wine, or you might like to drink your beer, or you might like to watch football, whatever it is, you be you, and don't let other people, because sometimes black consciousness can become like white consciousness,
man,
and we can do to ourselves what they are
man.
Doing to us.
Oh, my God. This
exactly.
Yourself.
It defeats
live
the purpose.
Your life.
It defeats the whole purpose. Yes. Live your best life.
And our children, that they're looking at us, they're saying, but, you know, if it's so wonderful being African, why are you so damn miserable?
Exactly.
God. Oh,
and they
my
say,
God.
Who wants to live that type of life? That's why I enjoy humor. I enjoy family. I enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy life because I want to show people this is why we need to be emancipated and liberated. Because my mind is free. I'm free to enjoy myself. I'm free to live my life. And when I shook the white man off my back, it's because I stood up straight. And when I stood up straight, not only did I deny access to my back to the white man, but I ain't letting no black people climb on my back either.
Oh, my God. Can't. Ooh. Ooh. Can I drop it again?
Stand up. Straight.
Can I?
Wow. drop it like
Oh my God.
Do we have any callers, sis? Do we have any callers?
It looks like we do have a caller. Caller, you on the line?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Happy New Year, and
Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you.
Yes, Happy New
there's
Year.
There's a time delay here, folks. I'm calling from the Whitsunday Islands off the northeast coast of Australia, between the mainland, in the mainland, and the Great Barrier Reef. And I'm not black, but I resonate with the message. And if it's any help in my last incarnation on planet Earth, I was a tribal elder in the Northern Territories in Australia, and I walk this land barefoot. I do not own a pair of shoes. And I'd just quickly like to share, I am 66 years old, and I am content. And I'd just quickly like to share how I got there, if that's okay with you. It shouldn't take too long. Because for me, all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. And I've had an amazing life, a very abusive childhood, which I went back and healed. I knew I couldn't change my childhood, but I could go back and heal it. And then I suffered from depression from about 1984 for 20 years until I realized that depression is not a mental illness. It's a wound of the soul. It's my soul crying out. Because I was living a false life. I just sat down one day and said, what's this pain I'm feeling? And I was suddenly realized that the pain I was feeling just is a natural response to a loving human being having to live in such a corrupt and unhuman society. But anyway, I'll cut to the chase. It was about 10 years ago, and I'm up here in the Whitsunday Islands, and I just got my qualification for becoming a ship's captain. And so the first time I took a boat out with all these people on board, and this is this is cyclone season here at the moment, but the first time I took the boat out, the hammer dropped, or the bomb dropped, and they're like, Bob, bugger. You are totally responsible for everything that happens on this vessel. You're responsible for the lives of the people, the safety of the vessel, even the vibe on the boat. It's all down to me. The buck stops with me. So all I did was I took that ideology and applied it to my own life. And I watched that movie, Master and Commander, with Russell Crowe. And the two sort of got together, so I just sat down and said, right, I am master and commander of my life. And I take full responsibility for this life that I do create. So, as master and commander of my life, what is my life purpose? Well, I set my life purpose to be to simply find my own truth. And how do I know what is my truth? Whatever resonates with my heart. So, bang, I got the big one out of the way.
Wow.
And then as a spiritual being, having a human physical experience, how do I want to experience this life? So once again, I set a command, and this is my conscious life intention. And anybody can create their own. But my conscious life intention is I am here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy, and abundant life. So that's my command to the universe and my life intention. And that I am here to have this is the direct command, but it's also my address to the universe. So the universe knows where to deliver what I've told it to. And since I put that conscious life intention in place, that is precisely how my life is unfolding. Now, I am responsible
wow.
for everything that happens in my life. And it's not all champagne and caviar. 2 years ago, Cyclone Debbie came through, and I was living on my little yacht in the bay here. And that's all I had. That was my home, living on a boat in paradise. And Cyclone Debbie destroyed the boat.
Wow.
Luckily, I managed to get off with my two dogs. And people are going, Bob, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. And I was thinking back, well, you know, I created this event in my life. There's a lesson there for me to learn. Now, what's that lesson that I need to learn? And the lesson I learned from creating that event was to totally let go of the attachment to things. You know, on the Saturday, when it was getting rough, I grabbed my two dogs and me, got in the dinghy and found safe haven. And so I reckon that was a fair price to pay, because I have stuff in my life now, not a lot, but I don't need a lot. I live a simple life. Yeah, but I reckon it was a fair price to pay. Now, in my journey to reclaim my authentic self, I'm originally from England. I was working in automotive research. I was living the magazine life. I had a lovely wife, two kids, a detached house, holidays in France. And now, once I started questioning everything, now I have lost everything that I valued whilst I was living the magazine life. But I have found the authentic me, and I am content with me. And I reckon it was a fair trade. And I'm just a simple bloke. I'm just a simple bloke. But it was the inner journey. Like, for an example, getting through depression, I've got an amazing intellect. I'm not bragging. It's just, you know, I have a really expensive power tool, you know. But for 20 years, I could not think my way out of depression, because the mind just compares this with that and is always trying to find answers, answers. And it wasn't until I learned how to silence my mind, you know, that tree full of chattering monkeys, that I could finally hear my heart. How I got through depression was to realize that it's not my pain, it's not a natural response, but to allow the pain in my body, all the feelings that were in my body, to come up and express them fully in the moment as they arose. And it's not it's not something you want to do in the supermarket. I'm glad I lived out on the boat, because I was ranting and screaming and shouting. I cried for weeks, but it was the feelings that did the healing. And so now my life is simple, because my heart is in the driving seat. If it ever gets complicated, it means my mind has slipped back into the driving seat. So I just go get the mind, throw it in the back seat, and put my heart back in the driving seat. I've bet my life on following my intuition. So I totally trust my intuition. And For me, my mind is just a tool that I use when I choose, for I am so much more than my mind. I treat it like I treat my little puppy dog, Barnaby, who's still asleep on the bed here.
Aww.
Lady lover. Yeah. No, so when my mind gets feisty, I say, okay, mind, off you go. Do some research on sonoluminescence or whatever, and then come back and report to me. So off my mind goes, wagging its little tail, because it's had some attention from the master. Then it comes back, reports to me. I pat it on the head. I give it a treat and say, thank you very much, mind. Now back in your basket.
Wow.
And that's what works for me. I am master of my mind. And I love this one. I had to go out of my mind to come to my senses. And one thing that I found to be really profound is apparently there was some guy called Descartes, or some wise fellow. I don't even know when he was born, but he came up with this phrase that says, "I think, therefore I am." Well, for me, he's got it all wrong, because I experience this life through my senses. I feel the breeze through the hairs on my skin. I smell the aroma of the mango tree. I feel the warmth of the sun on my body. So I experience this life through my senses. So for me, it's not I think, therefore I am. It is I feel, therefore I am.
Wow.
And that's what's working for me. But
and you know what's interesting is that the point, you know, the point that you make is the heart, and in the Egyptian story, the heart, Ma'at, plays a very important role in the development of the human being, and it's the heart that's weighed against the feather of Ma'at or justice.
Wow.
Because of nature.
I've come across that one, mate, and I've come across that one, mate. But I'll just go back to my opening statement that I made, which is, all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. Now, I respect your... I say to people that I respect your intelligence, and I expect the same in return. Now, for me, what I've come to realize in my journey is, all I have is my journey, my story. I have found what works for me. But because all are unique, I know it is only valid for me.
Yeah.
So I share my story. Because I don't have anybody else's answers, but I might have some of their questions. And I love the vibe on the show, and I hope, you know, you'll welcome me into your fold, because what is needed and what is happening is, like, the evolution of consciousness is exponential. That's what All of Mind Calendar is about, the evolution of consciousness. And we are moving from the age of power into the age of integrity, and integrity is overcoming. And you can see it if you look globally. More and more people are waking up to the corruption, making a stand. But we had to go through the age of power to get to the age of integrity, because now we are beginning to realize individually and collectively that we are the power. So on this curve of evolution, we've just turned the corner. So I just say to everybody, you know, hang on for a wild and exciting ride, because humanity is rising. It's rising to what it was destined to be, which is just awesome, magnificent. You know, it's amazing. Oh,
yes, it is. It's happening every week. How about that? All right. Well, we thank you for calling in and being a part of our new
show.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Definitely continuing
Before you go, Mr. Bob, I think you need a bomb. Hit it.
Yes, we're going to drop a bomb for you, Bob. that was amazing.
That
and we really thank you for calling in and sharing.
That wasn't loud enough because my two dogs are still asleep. Probably the insurance.
Fantastic.
Hey, I tell you what, all joking apart, my little blind dog, Barnaby, and we've been together 10 years, and he has taught me all I need to know about life. It's eat, sleep, drink, pee, poo, play. And if there's nothing interesting going on, take a nap. No. Why is humanity the only species that has to pay to live on this planet? I'll leave you with that one.
Thank you.
And if I can find out how to set up a reminder for the show, if it's okay with you, I'll join in as often as I can get here, because this is what it's all about. People have to take responsibility for the life that we do create. Hey.
That is it.
We look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you.
Okay. Happy New Year.
Take care now.
Happy New Year. Wow. Well,
it lets you know how far you're reaching.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
we got our
surprise song that, you know, we're going to end out on, and we just wish those that are listening and those that will listen, you know, Happy New Year. Love yourself, love life, and just live your life to the fullest.
And that
keep on keeping on. It ain't over till we win.
Yes, there we go. Happy New Year again,
no
family.
Happy New Year to everybody. Live your best life, and because you don't have time to go back and forth.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
We gon' start this thing all right. Duval in the motherfucking house. Come on. Do it, baby, take it, baby. Come on, check it on, check it out. Come, hey, show 'em what it's all about. Hey, show 'em what it's all about. Hey,
you got a lot to be smiling for. So what the fuck you be wildin' for?
Smile, bitch. Come on.
I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages. Graced the cover of 100 magazine pages. Made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot. With a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for.
Smile, bitch. Come on.
So what the fuck you be wildin' for?
Smile, bitch, come on.
If you're breathing, you achieving.
Smile, bitch, come on.
We having fun this evening, believe me.
Smile, bitch, come on. Smile, bitch,
I'm living my best life. I ain't going back to fuck with you niggas. I'm living my best life.
Your middle fingers up in the air and show a hater you don't even much care. We finna get another bag this year. My ex bitch, you can have that there. Hey, this year, bad vibes get cut off. More trips, new chicks with no draws. More drinks, more smoking, more cars. More shows with Duval and Snoop Dogg. Look, I ain't tryna throw no shade, cause I can't see them in my lane. As long as my rent getting paid, I can care less where the bitch think, huh? You in the club every night with no job.
Smile, bitch, come on.
Eating good off your food stamp card.
Smile, bitch, come on.
You made a killing last year off fraud.
Smile, bitch, come on.
If you know you ain't going to work tomorrow.